I want to talk to you about, and I'm going to title it, The Message Lives. The Message Lives. We're in Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to do my very best to wrap up Colossians by the end of June. We've got just a chapter and about a third. The last chapter, a lot of it is a lot of greetings, so we'll be able to capture a lot of that together. But this morning, I want to look at just two verses. Two, I believe, very important verses. I want to talk to you about keeping a balance in our Christian life. You say, well, what kind of balance? Well, listen, there has to be a balance between the knowledge that we learn from the Word and the application of that knowledge. In the book of Colossians, you can see the very first two chapters deal with right thinking, how you think, and having to do with the knowledge and the understanding of the Word. But the last two chapters deal with the application of that knowledge, to live out that application in this world. And the two go hand in hand together. Paul is urging us as a church to be stable, to be balanced in our Christian walk. Unfortunately, today, the image that many people have of the Christian life is someone who's prideful, someone who's arrogant, intolerant, someone who's against every bit of fun. That's where the world comes from. In fact, the problem is we walk out of church sometimes like this. It's like, oh God, we're all so solemn. But there's a moment here that's solemn that God is speaking to us, but we need to step out into this world with a message that will change the world. Why does it happen, though, that people see us that way? It's due to our lack of balance. What the church needs, and really let me rephrase that. What non-believers need are a balanced believer who is stable, authentic, and who live their everyday life with the Spirit of Christ. Church, to us as believers today, we need to let the message live. Colossians chapter 3, two verses, 16 and 17. It says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Holy Spirit, would you impart understanding as we prepare our hearts to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. In verse 16 and 17, Paul, I'm going to break it into four characteristics of a well-rounded or a balanced Christian life. And let me walk through them. Number one is be Bible saturated. Say that with me this morning. Ready? Be. One more time. Very important words. What does the word be mean? Exist. Actively living. Be. Be. What do we need to be? Bible. What is Bible? The Word of God. The living Word. The active Word. Be active. Be that living Word. And what do we want it to do? You ever seen a sponge that's saturated? And it can hold no more water. It's completely saturated. What if your life was Bible saturated? Let the message of Christ, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Paul encourages believers to follow the message of the Bible, to let it dominate our lives, to let it saturate and motivate the way you live. Listen to this. The word dwell in this passage means this, to feel at home. Paul urges us to have such a strong relationship with God's Word that whenever we read it, it feels at home. Church, but I know that doesn't happen. I open up the Word and go, oh God, I don't know if I want to put that in my life at this time. because we struggle with it. But we should get so saturated by it that it becomes so much a part of us, it's at home in us. The Bible should be the heart of our existence. We draw our direction from the Bible. We get our comfort from the Bible. We get our strength from the Bible. Being saturated, I believe, does three things for us. Number one, it helps us know the truth. Church, I'm still amazed that you show up every week. I'm like, why would you, for a boy from Mississippi, why, you know? But I know it's not for me. It's because of God that you have found a network of believers and a place where you can grow and become a part. But church, you need to know the truth. I don't want to just turn it into a fellowship of topical things that we talk about. But I want the truth to be known. And I'm telling you, the Bible is not relative truth. It's absolute truth. Now, I'm going to make a strong statement. Are you ready? Everybody got your seatbelt on. Because the reason I want you to stay here. I don't want you to leave after this. But church, you're either in this thing or out of it. It's either all truth or it's not. I don't know that I can take a part of it and leave the other part. Church, if you're going to come and you're going to be a part, I'm telling you, dive in wholeheartedly. Just don't play the game. We have too much of that. I want you to become well-balanced. I want you to know the knowledge. I want you to put it into action. You need to know the truth. It enables us to recognize error in the world. How many know our world is a little bit awry? A little bit. But it also reveals error in our own lives. And that's the part we don't like. We'll like it when it, you know, it's like preachers preaching and like, man, that's a good word for John. You know, we want to shovel everything else to everybody else, but it's also good to reveal our own errors. Number three, it provides answers to difficult questions. Church, I do not know the answer to everything. But let me tell you one thing, because a question came yesterday. We're car washing, and a gentleman was asking, he's like, well, why do all the bad stuff happen in the world? I'll tell you, you're not going to like the answer, but I'll tell you the Bible answer. God is sovereign. God is in control. But I don't understand it all. I'm not God. He is, and I believe it. I have my confidence, my trust, my absolute trust is in Him. That He is working all things together for good. Church, at some point, I have to let that be the answer, and that's the answer. So, church, it's hard for us, but the difficult questions are answered. They're just not answered the way we want them to be answered. Did you know that half the books in the Bible can be read in less than 45 minutes? And many of them in less than 20 minutes. You can read the whole book. In fact, it's been demonstrated that the Old and the New Testament all together can be read out loud in 71 hours. That's all. In fact, you know what that means? That tells me that if we would spend just 15 minutes a day, we could read the Bible cover to cover in 1 year. But the question is, have we given it any time? Since I was 8 years old, since 38 years since then, I could have read the Bible 38 times, just 15 minutes a day. I can't say that I've done that. I know as a kid, I wasn't made to read the Bible, but they had little challenges that if you read the Bible, you get prizes. I don't know if that's a bad idea. Church, I think though we need something because we need to begin to saturate ourselves with the Word of God. We need to pour it over our lives. And church, we can do it. So, church, let me ask a question. So, since it's that easy, how do we account for our lack of knowledge of the Word? Because we haven't been doing it. We haven't been pouring it over our lives daily. And I encourage you to do so. We have to practice being Bible saturated. We have to practice it in our lives. We have to let the Word of Christ or the message of Christ dwell. Be at home. Number two is we need to share in ministry. This is a second characteristic in this passage that a well-balanced believer is aware that they're involved in reciprocal and shared ministry. In fact, in our 16 fundamental truths of the assemblies, one is called the ministry. We believe that the ministry is about the body. It's not just me. It's not just leadership. It is you. We are the body of Christ. How do I function? If I remove my heart, how does the rest of my body function? You know, and you said, well, there's parts we can remove, and there's parts that God's trying to put there. And God's trying to get us to be the body and work together. He says, this is what he says in the text, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. You know, when we teach someone, we help them understand something they didn't know before. We have the responsibility, church, of helping each other grow in the knowledge of the word. That's why we do Wednesday night. That's why we do Sunday school. That's why we have care communities. That's why we have small groups. So it's a place where you can be taught and you can grow in the word of God. At times, we have to be willing, though, also to admonish. What does that word mean? It means to caution one another. We have to remind each other of truth that needs to be a part of our daily living. We are to teach and to be taught. We are to admonish and be willing to be admonished. Listen, church, I believe we're in a day that we have reacted to many things that have happened in the church. And I believe we're going to have to become more preventive in our walk with God and others. We need to help others, and we need to be careful about this because we tend to not be teachable at times. But I'm asking you, if someone came to you and they're just saying, hey, what about this in your life? It's a caution. I love it when the word cautions me. I have a dear friend of ours that just fell in ministry. For 13 years, he's preaching but living a second lifestyle outside of preaching. And when that word tells me, be careful lest ye fall, reminds me as your pastor that I want to do everything to live my life above reproach. I don't want to give the enemy a foothold in my life. And church, if you see that in your pastor, I'm telling you, you have the permission to come to me. And I pray that I'll be teachable. If I ever say anything from this pulpit that doesn't seem to be the word of God, come to me, talk to me. Let's go into the word of God. Let's look at it. Let's search it. I am trying to teach you truth. That's what I want, church. And I submit myself to you that way. But I also ask you to submit yourselves to one another. Can we help each other grow? And let's share in the ministry. Number three, let's have a spirit of celebration. Whew, all that heavy stuff done. No, I got one more yet. But church is another part that have a spirit of celebration about ourselves. One of the ways that we teach and one of the ways we admonish is through psalms or hymns or songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in our hearts. In other words, we're to be a joyful singing body. Church, we should be celebrating the grace of God. There is nothing that expresses or touches the depths of our hearts like music does. In fact, let me tell you, I think why. I don't want to get into deep teaching, but Lucifer. Ever heard of him? Some refer to him as the devil, Satan. He was one of the archangels in heaven. And from what we understand as we read scripture, he was the leader of worship in heaven. Why do you think a third of the angels fell with him? The music has an allure, yet God created this really good thing, and the enemy came along and he perverted it and said, it's all about me instead of about God. In fact, if you read scripture, you find out that Lucifer was made up of pipes and vials and strings. He himself was an instrument of worship, created to worship God, but he wanted the worship. Church, music is an incredible means that God created for teaching. That we should worship God, but we should encourage one another. And when we come together, our time should be, yes, thoughtful and reverent, but it should be also a celebration. Some of the greatest memories of our lives are tied to music. How many have ever been to Disney World? And if I started singing, it's a small world, what? It's And remember the moment you're going through there and all you're thinking is, wow, this is a cool, cold. It's a nice place to be when it's hot. But, we're driving, we're going through, and you remember now, you begin an imagery of all the things. What about the Pirates of the Caribbean? And you go down and all this. All of them, they use music to integrate imagery into your life. And God, I believe, created it in a good way for us to do that. In fact, Paul is referring here, and he talks about we can do it with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In fact, let me take you back to a few this morning. There's all kinds of songs, but this morning, if you know these, you can sing them along, but don't kind of go ahead of me because I'm going to try to teach you something. Are you ready? Oh, let me teach you something right here. Ready? Let's try this. I'm going to teach you. Ready? You ready to be taught? Here we go. Jesus loves me. Wait, hold. Really? You know that? Why? For the Bible tells me so. Well, to who? Little. When? They are. All right, now, that's really good stuff. But now here's the really good stuff. You ready? You ready to be taught? Yes, Jesus. He really does. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me. What about songs like this? When peace like a river attendeth my way, when the sorrows like a sea. How about this one? So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. Take you back to another one. This is the third stanza. Probably should change our lives. It says, and when I think that God His Son not sparing sent Him to die, I scarce can tell that on the cross at all. My dream what do? Then sings my soul, my Savior, come to me. How great a great men of our day have written songs. A great pastor, Jack Hayford, wrote these words: Majesty, we worship His Majesty. But to Jesus be all glory, honor, and said something like this: shout to the Lord, all the earth, better say, power, power, majesty, praise to the King. And even newer was it said, that I believe you're my healer. Curtis Chapman, it's not a new song, but he wrote a song for us. It says this: His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. I love this. He'll carry us when we can't carry. Real simple here. When a person has received the incredible grace of God, there is something that ought to begin to celebrate within your life. And then not only that, I want to learn more. I want to be taught. Lord, teach me the old hymns. Teach me about the amazing grace. Teach me about the power in the blood. Teach me that there is victory in Jesus. But I also want to learn that I love you, Lord. And I will surrender my life. I'll give you everything. I need you more than yesterday. I need to get all these things with songs so it continues to teach your life. Church, I don't know about you, but there were seasons in our home where we would play the CD and let the worship music flow. Well, sweetheart, it's probably time to let that happen again. When you get in your car, let the worship begin to flow. When you're at home, church, we've waited too long to do it once a week together. I'm telling you, tomorrow morning, get up and begin to say, what did we sing this morning? Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. And let it begin to pour out of your life, for he is good. If you've got a good voice, you ought to sing well. Amen? If you've got a fair voice, you ought to sing fair. If you've got a croaky voice, you ought to sing croaky. But listen to me. The point is not whether you're in tune musically. The point is whether your heart is in tune with God. That's what makes us give the expression. That's why it pours out from the heart, not just the mouth. Church, we need to make a conscious effort to continue to let our lives be taught and learn how to worship the Lord, not just together on Sunday, but on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday and Friday and Saturday, as we prepare our hearts to come together as a corporate body to give a celebration together on Sunday. Number four. Move along. You're not going to like this one. Yeah, you'll love it, church. Live the message consistently. Paul brings his thought to us as a living point. Verse 17, and whatever you do, read this with me. Go to that verse. Ready? Out loud, everybody. It's good for you to read scripture every once in a while. Ready? Here we go. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Seems like a perfect conclusion, doesn't it? The person who's well balanced in their life is also Christ revealing in their walk, in word or deed. Boy, that kind of takes everything in that life goes on. It takes everything into account. Our deeds, listen, they can be preaching, teaching, eating, exercising, driving, cleaning, shopping, visiting, working, playing, fishing, or even watching TV. Everything. Everything. Our words. That's everything that passes over your lips. Even in the unguarded moments of your life, every word, everything that pours out of us ought to give God the glory and the honor. The world is watching the believer. They're watching you. They're watching me. They're interested to see if what you say really lines up with the way you live. They're watching the message you live. The genuine test of our faith is a God-honoring consistency in our life. Now, don't get me wrong. Consistency is not perfection. That's an impossible standard to reach in this life. However, when we make a mistake or when we fall, we learn how to handle those situations in a Christ-like manner. Listen, church, be willing to take the responsibilities for your actions. No excuses, no blaming anybody else. Be willing to make things right yourself with others. God wants the message of his word to live through you. Even if it's in the way you conduct business, maybe it's the entertainment in your life, it's the hobbies that you're involved with, maybe it's the way you spend your money, maybe it's the way you serve in church, maybe it's how you respond to needs of others out there, maybe it's how you react to those who offend you. Here's a big question for you. What are you holding back from the Lord? Do you have any areas of your life that you say, off limits, God, this is my area? I find there's so many times in our lives we say, God, I'm working on that for you. When I get it right, I'll give it to you. When God says, I want to move into every place in your life. Maybe this is a better question for some. Where in your life does the Lord have influence? Is it every area? Is it every deed that you do? Is your relationship with Christ something that's just significant on Sundays? I love you on Sundays, Jesus. Man, you're so good on Sundays. God, I love Sundays. Or is Christ significant? Period. in every area of your life, everywhere you go, everything you do. Paul is teaching us how to follow Christ fully and wholeheartedly at all times, church. And this morning, I am teaching you that. You are to live for Christ every moment of your life. You can never say you weren't taught. That's it, church. I'm teaching you. You see, the world will never believe what we say about Jesus until they see that that message lives in us. And that we believe it and we live it. Number one, are you Bible saturated? Be Bible saturated. Church, I would even encourage you. Say, well, I don't really read every day. What if you just started reading 1 minute a day? 1 minute. I'll be honest with you, those who haven't been doing it, just the faithful practice of it will change your life. I'm going to tell you, though, I'm going to go ahead and warn you, it's hard to put it down after 1 minute. Unless you're reading Leviticus. But that's where faithfulness kicks in. Just be faithful. You say, where should I start? If I could tell you, start in John. Great book. Start there. Just begin to read. In the beginning was the Word. Just begin to pour over the Word. Let it work into your life. Be Bible saturated. Sharing ministry. Church, I cannot do this alone. You know what the pastors are for? There's a fivefold ministry given to the church. But you know why they were given? Ephesians 4. You can go home and read it for yourself. I am here to equip you to do the work of the ministry. And part of that work is when you go out of this place, you enter the mission field. And I want your life to reflect, because it's Bible saturated, you begin to share in the ministry of living your life out there. We also share in the ministry of watching over one another in love. We also share the truth in love at times with one another. So church, I'm asking you, don't leave it all to me. Share in the ministry. That means you can go to the hospital. That means you can visit our shut-ins. That means you can call others and just encourage them in the Lord. Can I tell you something? How many of you call once a week and you get an answer machine of somebody? At least once a week. You get an answer machine. The rest of you, what do y'all do, text? Let me tell you two things you can do. Number one, if you get an answer machine, you don't get them. Why don't you just pray for them? Yeah, just leave a prayer or an encouraging word. And you say, well, that was my business partner. You think they need it? You say, hey, you know what? I just want your day to be blessed and hoping everything's going well. And I'll be praying for you. Have a good day. Church, there's ways to do it. And what about texting? Oh, my goodness, all you students in school, what a great way for you to go, hey, God is good, isn't he? Yeah, he is. Hey, that teacher needs help. Well, let's pray for her. Church, what if we just started getting God as a part of our conversation in life? Encourage one another. Number three, have a spirit of celebration. Listen, there's enough death in the world. We need celebration. I'm sorry the rapture didn't happen yesterday, but there's still something to celebrate. He's still coming. Church, have this celebration of life around you. I'm not saying things are tough at times. Weep with those that weep, rejoice with those that rejoice. But overall, be thankful for the grace work in your life. And number four, just live the message consistently. It's easy to say. It's hard to do. Pastor Matt, would you come? I know it's challenging in our lives. But church, if you want to get well balanced, let the message live. Not just knowledge about Jesus, but life in Jesus. Would you bow your heads? Maybe you're in this place today and you say, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. I don't even know what it's all about. But boy, if I could have that kind of life. Let me tell you what it's about. God sent his only Son into the world to die for our sins. And every one of us have sinned. And he died on a cross so that he took the payment for that sin for us, because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God through his Son is eternal life through Jesus Christ. This morning, the Bible says you only need believe and receive him, that he died for you and he rose again. And by believing that, you are saved. This morning, I ask in this place, maybe you've accepted him, maybe you've fallen away, you've backslidden in your life and it's time to come home. Maybe you've never known him. But on the balcony and main floor, if you want to know him this morning, we want to pray with you. Would you just lift your hands across this building? If you want to know Jesus, amen. Yes, sir. Sorry. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Is there any others this morning? I'm just looking across. Don't want to miss anybody. Listen, let's make it right. I want everybody to pray with me with these that have lifted their hands. And I want you to pray like with faith, like you've never prayed before. You ready? Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Thank you for sending Jesus.
Thank you for sending Jesus.
This morning. I make my confession. Of faith in you.
Faith in you.
I believe you died for me.
I believe you died.
And I believe you rose again. I ask you to forgive me. Of all my sins. Make me clean.
Make me clean.
In the name of Jesus I pray.
In the name of Jesus I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Means so be it. Amen. Some of my biblical foundations class, if you're here, I'm going to ask you to slip down and just be here. I'm going to have some men, and I'm going to ask maybe some of my deacons and their wives to be here also for a moment. If I just want you to come meet with somebody. We want to get you plugged in. We want you to know Christ. Because see, what did I say? We've got to learn now. Don't just say, oh, I think I know it and I've done it. Let's grow. Then let's be consistent, church. Here's what I'm going to end with this morning. We're not going to sing. Because you're going to sing on your way out. But here's my statement to you. And now you'll begin to understand why I repeat it so readily. I want you to have a Jesus-filled week. I long for you, each woman, each man, each boy, each girl, to have this Christ indwelling by the Holy Spirit to be a part of every moment of this coming week. A Jesus-filled week. Could we get balanced and live the message? Church, the message lives. I'm working on it. You work on it. Together, let's bring glory to God. Heavenly Father, be with us as we leave this place. And Lord, for those who celebrated, and we just celebrated their coming into the kingdom, making sure that their hearts and their lives are right. Lord, I pray you help them grow. Help us to help them. And God, have your way in our lives this week. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Go singing about the grace and the glory of God. God bless you.